This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Within hours of the attacks in Brussels, Belgium, Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz released a statement saying, quote, "We need to empower law enforcement to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods before they become radicalized." Some wondered if Cruz was trying to outdo his rival Donald Trump in Islamophobia. But every time there's a terrorist attack by a radicalized person or group of people claiming to be Muslim, the Muslim community gets demonized. My guest is Zahra Bilu. She is a community organizer, civil rights lawyer, and director of CARE San Francisco. CARE stands for the Council of American Islamic Relations. Welcome to the show, Zahra.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
Well, let's talk about Ted Cruz first. Do you think he was trying to out-racist Donald Trump? Why would he say such a thing?
For sure. I actually am not sure which one of them spoke first. It unfortunately feels like every time there's a horrible tragedy of this sort, especially in the last few months with the election cycle, that the candidates are competing to see who can be more un-American and promote a further sort of erosion of our civil liberties.
And, you know, it's interesting because he is running for this presidential candidacy. He's running for the nomination of the Republican Party. And I'm wondering if he thinks that by making such statements, he is going to win the segment of the population that is aligned behind Donald Trump, because it seems hypocritical for GOP candidates to denounce the racism of Donald Trump and then espouse it themselves.
For sure. And that's why it didn't make any sense to me when the GOP candidates did denounce the racism of Donald Trump, is because for the months prior to those denunciations, they were making similar statements. They were talking about things like religious tests, about banning refugees. And so I worry that what they're doing is, one, trying to win votes from each other's camps, but two, taking advantage of the fear that people feel right now as the face of war is changing across the world.
What do you mean by that, the face of war changing across the world?
For so long in the United States, we've been safe from the consequences of our foreign policy. Now, more and more, as the attacks move west and the people that are attacking the United States and Western countries are stateless actors, I'm not sure how long we will be comfortable, and I worry about that. And so people are afraid. People are afraid that they don't know when the next attack will be or where it will be. Even in California, with San Bernardino, it hit so close to home. And so candidates like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are attempting to use that fear to win votes and to raise money for their campaigns.
President Obama also responded to Ted Cruz's comment. This is what he said. He said, "As far as the notion of having surveillance of neighborhoods where Muslims are present, I just left a country," he's talking about Cuba, "that engages in that kind of neighborhood surveillance," which, by the way, the father of Senator Cruz escaped for America, the land of the free, end of quote. Now, Zahra, again, isn't this hypocritical given that Obama has overseen the most expansive surveillance state in the United States? Some of that surveillance has focused on Muslim communities.
And that's the challenge, right? Is I worry that at this point our civil liberties have been so eroded and the standard has become so low that we're willing to take and are appreciative of any type of solidarity. And so it is impactful that President Obama is pushing back against Ted Cruz's comments, but you're absolutely right, is that his administration has been surveilling American Muslims, has been imprisoning innocent American Muslims without due process, and has been sending in informants and provocateurs into mosques. And so it's almost a war of words where the actions don't match up.
Another sort of liberal figure is the New York Police Department's chief, Bill Bratton. He also made comments denouncing Ted Cruz. Here's what he said. He said he, meaning Ted Cruz, doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, to be frank with you. While he's running around here, he probably has some Muslim officers guarding him, implying that there are a lot of Muslim police officers in the NYPD. Bratton went on to say he is maligning a whole population group, a religion. That's not the American way. Now, Zahra, again, isn't the NYPD one of the worst police departments in the nation on targeting Muslims?
And I think that your point is exactly right. And it's a good opportunity for us to think about how we be intersectional in our work, is that the police departments that are surveilling mosques are also killing innocent Black people, are cooperating with ICE to deport and detain many undocumented South Americans and Central Americans and Mexican Americans. And so this is where it's important for us to think, how do we work with other communities to push back so that we're not being divided, but we're also not being fooled by really nice words, which are appreciated, but when they don't match the actions, I think are confusing to the officers that report to these leaders and to the communities that are being targeted by these leaders.
And I want to bring up what you said about this being a war of words, because being that this is an election year, it seems as though the rhetoric shadows the actual action, that the liberals want to try to set themselves apart from the conservatives by saying, this is the American way and we are the ones who are espousing American values, whereas those people over there, the Republicans, are quite open about targeting or racially profiling Muslims or whole groups of people. But meanwhile, we have the establishment of American society kind of geared towards, whether you're talking about the criminal justice system, law enforcement, and even media geared towards every time there is one of these attacks, demonizing the entire Muslim community. And that's not to say, of course, that on an individual level that happens, because individual Americans are, for the better part, a little bit more nuanced. And you do often have outpouring of support for the Muslim community, for example, in the wake of the San Bernardino attacks. But the establishment in our government and in our society finds it very easy to demonize Muslims.
Fear sells, right? Fear
Yeah,
justifies the
right.
further erosion of civil liberties. It justifies the existence and sort of massive budgets of so many of these agencies. And it feels as though it feeds into a cognitive dissonance, right? Is that we're saying one thing and doing another, we're saying something else and doing something else. It doesn't add up. And that's why so many people are frustrated. And I think very skeptical of anything at this point, because we're so used to being promised one thing, but then really being sold to the highest bidder to some extent.
Now, I also want to talk, of course, about double standards. I like to bring this up every time there is an attack like the one in Paris, Brussels, or San Bernardino when Muslims are demonized, that we have these double standards. When white men, like the Charleston shooter, kills masses of people, the media don't discuss it. First of all, they don't discuss it in terms of terrorism. They never call these men terrorists. And certainly, they don't demonize the entire white community. There is no politician, that talks about racial profiling, and that's very frustrating.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Is that the word terrorism itself is so challenging because we're talking about state-sponsored violence versus non-state-sponsored violence. And it's fascinating to see how sometimes we are more accepting of state-sponsored violence than non-state-sponsored violence, but then also looking at how those words are applied differently to different racial and minority groups. So you won't see Ted Cruz talking about patrolling white neighborhoods. That's just not what happens when a white person attacks other people. The other, I think, double standard that I want to point out, if it's okay, is how we talk about the victims, right? So a huge conversation in the American Muslim community in the past week has been, why wasn't there a similar outcry about the attacks in Turkey just last week, compared to what's been said and sort of the reaction we're getting about Belgium? And so it's about the perpetrators and it's about the victims, and it's replete with double standards.
I'm so glad you brought up the issue in Turkey. And it's not just Turkey, it's the Ivory Coast a few weeks ago,
Absolutely.
Afghanistan, Iraq. What's really interesting, of course, is that groups like ISIS have among their victims, perhaps the single largest commonality that their victims face is the fact that they're Muslim. Muslims are the biggest victims of ISIS. But you're right, for some reason, that just doesn't come up.
It doesn't get the same media attention. I mean, we value certain lives more than other lives, but and I think this is what I'm also thinking about in terms of the new face of war, is that for so long, war has been something that happens among brown people in another part of the world, or that's how we see it as Americans, is that we are immune from it. We don't feel the impact of it. And so when we start to feel the impact of it, the conversation shifts, and many of the assumptions that we're working from are challenged.
Now, you too, I understand, have been targeted by conservative groups in the US. I found this group when I did some research on you. I found a group called the Investigative Project on Terrorism that profiled you. They had a picture of you. They were calling you the CARE's next generation radical. Can you tell us about that?
This is, I think, something else that is facing American Muslims, is that there is a massive Islamophobia industry. By some counts, they have spent over $150 million in just the last few years demonizing American Muslims, right? And that happens in a variety of ways. So everyday American Muslims will feel the impact when they see anti-Muslim bus ads, when they realize that their local law enforcement agencies are being trained by these so-called terrorism experts who are really teaching law enforcement that the more devout a Muslim is, the more likely they are to commit violence, which of course is countered and untrue by so many studies. And then of course, the more extreme way in which we see this is the targeting of activists like myself, is that if we are going to push back against imperialism, if we are going to push back against law enforcement surveillance, if we are going to be effective in our work, we are pushing back against the powers that be. And the way they react to that is to attempt to marginalize us, make people afraid of us, and make us afraid of speaking out.
Your organization, CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, has been particularly targeted, as have other Muslim civil rights groups. But I think CARE being one of the highest profile, if not the highest profile, civil rights organization of Muslims in the country. What sort of attacks has CARE faced? I mean, what are some of the things that, that people say about CARE? Because, of course, in the wake of these attacks, often people like yourself and others, you know, are expected to be out there talking about your condolences for the victims of these attacks, because if you aren't out there saying that, you're seen as sympathizing with the terrorists, quote unquote,
as complicit. We're assumed guilty if we say nothing, which is crazy. Like that standard that I should be accountable for the crimes of a person I have nothing to do with is unique in the way it impacts the Muslim community today, but also in the way that it impacts minority communities over time, right? Is that we are not the first to experience this struggle. For CARE, it really is that we are the nation's largest American Muslim civil rights organization, and so blessed with the community who stands by us and enables us or empowers us to be the front line, the first responders. And the result of that is that we are often called, we are often accused of trying to implement Islamic law in the United States. We are accused of attempting to undermine civil liberties when in reality our work is based on the Bill of Rights. When we're talking about the right to practice faith, that's found in the First Amendment. When we're talking about being protected from law enforcement, that's in the Fourth Amendment. These are very American values. But I would argue that like Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, the many of those who attack CARE seem to be out of touch with what American values are and are willing to sacrifice those values and principles in order to give us all a sense of false security. But some have called it, you know, an increasing rise or tide of fascism in this.
And of course, you know, one of my favorite issues of hypocrisy to point out is that those same groups that talk about creeping Sharia law then turn around and try to push Christian law onto the rest of us. For example,
right.
You know, when it comes to not wanting to have any government funding for birth control or against LGBT communities, being against same-sex marriage, and all of a sudden that's seen as religious freedom.
Right. It's that the separation of church and state is only important to them so long as it is not their church we are talking about, right? Or their values that we're talking about. They are interested in and working hard to push their religious values, but also their authoritarian values on the rest of us. And so it's important that we're pushing back together.
Zahra, what about how members of the Muslim community tend to, you know, how they're feeling? I mean, here in the United States, since the September 11th attacks, it is a community that has really been under so much scrutiny. And then just in the last three, four years, when we've seen more of the attacks by groups like ISIS impact Western countries, Europe and the United States. Still very small numbers of attacks we're talking about here, but of course they're amplified in the media. The Muslim community is under even more scrutiny. You know, are Muslim children facing more bullying in schools? Is there anecdotal evidence you can share with us about how the community is being impacted?
Right. Just this week, we heard from a young girl in a Bay Area middle school whose scarf was pulled at by a classmate. Hmm. In looking into the case, we learned that she had been experiencing bullying for several years now. It's undeniable that Islamophobia is a norm in our current atmosphere and environment. And that trickles down even to the schoolyard. More and more we're hearing from Muslims who are changing their names, who are afraid of wearing their headscarves out in public. We're hearing from members of the Sikh American community who are frequently the targets of violence because they're mistaken for Muslim. And so For the last 15 years, yes, it has been challenging, but some would say that even the last 6 months have been the hardest of those last 15 years. Is that in terms of the robustness of the anti-Muslim industry and how much money and effort is being put into marginalizing and rallying hate against Muslims, the ongoing sort of increased attacks and the new face of terrorism, and then the presidential election cycle. All of that coming together has unfortunately contributed to what's feeling like a perfect storm, where many people have said that it's felt like we've been under attack pretty consistently for 6 months now and we're exhausted. It's leading to really, I think, important and necessary, but also sad conversations about what the trauma of these experiences is like and how long it will take to recover from them. When we think that in 2016, people still have trauma from 2001 and 2002, if things are this bad now, I worry that it may take us another 15 to 20 years to fully recover from what is going on.
Zahra Bilou is a community organizer, civil rights lawyer, and the director of CARE San Francisco. We're going to continue our conversation in an extended version of this interview that you can find online at our website, risingupwithsonali.com. This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.